You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Sarah.
Hey,
Sarah. Yeah, John had to work today. He had to do a little Sunday class, so he didn't want to sort of do a Sunday class, come do the podcast, head home, do his laundry, etc. So we're flying without John today. And let's see, again, that's if you want to check us out on the internet, that's you can see our blog, gokorea.livejournal.com. You can email us questions at gokorea@gmail.com. And we have a new website. We're going to archive our podcasts at this website, plus have other kind of things, a little mini facts, some biographies of us, stuff like that, maybe some pictures. And that's www.gokorea.info, I-N-F-O. Yeah, new one of the new domain names they came up with a few years ago or months ago or something.
Months ago.
Yeah, I don't know. But no more. You can't have a .sex domain.
No .sex.
Yeah, that was a gokorea.sex.
That would be an interesting one.
We couldn't get that one. But we do have a snack. I did bring it for John, but he's not here, but we'll enjoy it anyways. This is one of these sort of weird snacks that the name changes depending on the packaging. I bought these at Home Plus, which is kind of a division of like Tesco.
Tesco, right.
Yeah, Tesco, the British grocery store giant. All these European grocery store giants have opened up in Korea that no one's ever really heard of back in North America. So you got Carrefour. We were talking about Carrefour last week. And now this week we're talking about Tesco. So, yeah. Home Plus. I think it's a joint venture between Tesco and Samsung.
I think it's Samsung, right? Yeah.
But Samsung can be divided into all these bizarre, you know. In Korea, there's these big companies called Chaebols, and they're owned by families, and they kind of do everything. They make candy, they make ships, they make planes. Well, maybe not planes. Who knows? Aircraft parts, you know, main battle tanks. I mean, just whatever they make it. Yeah. So Samsung, which I guess back in North America we know is a maker of cameras and things like that.
Electronics.
And, yeah. In Korea, they also do grocery products and things. Hyundai is always kind of the funny one.
Yes.
Yeah. Or in North America, we just sort of know them as kind of makers of not the best cars in the world.
They're pretty cheap, though.
Yeah, cheap cars.
And good warranties.
Yeah, actually, yeah, they've improved their quality a lot. But about 25 years ago, though, the Hyundai Pony, which...
People would make fun of you if you drove a Hyundai.
Yeah, so that is sort of stuck in everybody's mind, but... You come to Korea and suddenly Hyundai, it's huge here. It's, you know, Hyundai department store, really nice department store.
Yeah.
Hyundai apartments are always really nice. Things like that, yeah. So it's quite sort of, in North America, we always see this one limited slice of Hyundai and we just know them for, yeah, just, you know.
Hyundai cheap, is yeah, Korea here.
Yeah, good quality, cheap cars, but you're never going to sort of meet a lady driving a Hyundai. Yeah. Anyway, so let's try it. Go ahead, Sarah. Now, you think you've had this before and did not enjoy it at all.
No, not at all, and I'm having a hard time getting it out of the bag here.
All right, but it looks sort of different.
It does.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we didn't even talk about, maybe I didn't mention the name. So this is called Fried Mini Honey Cake. Right. The Korean says Salyakgwa. Salyakgwa. Yak. That means medicine, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Guaja is snack. So, I don't know, medicine, snack. I don't know what sal, but it's a double.
Sal is kind of like,
you know what sal means?
Uncooked rice.
Really?
It's pure form?
It's the double S, not the single S.
Which I don't know then.
The pronunciation of the double S is kind of like, the only way I think we can do it is if you just sort of shout it. So not Sal. Then Koreans can sort of understand you're saying the double S. I don't know. Go ahead, Sarah. I'm going to try one myself.
Doesn't taste the same as I remember.
Yeah, these are a little bit
donut-y.
Yeah.
Kind of, like a really hard donut.
Well, that's what I like about them. It's sort of as if you take all the donut goodness and then congeal it down into one little rice cake.
Mm. Not bad.
It's wonderful. I'm going to get some water here. We actually have another email question in. This is from Catherine. I think Catherine used to live in Seattle, and now she's living in California. We've got three emails to our show, two with questions, and one from a guy who really liked your boy skipping an underwear story. He wanted to use it. I forwarded it to you, so get back to him if you can.
I can do that.
Yeah. But three emails, and they've all been directed at you, Sarah.
Popular. Like,
I know. You're like.
Wish it was like more like this in real life.
You're the star of our show. I'm so glad to have you.
Yay!
Good. This is why I've trekked all the way down to Bundan today.
See, that's right. You know, you have no show without me.
Exactly. You
know. You're gonna have to start paying me.
Double.
That's right.
You become like on a Ted Danson or something.
Ooh.
I want $1 million per show.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh, that'd be nice.
So Catherine's actually asking a question about Korean soap operas. One show called My Lovely Samsung. I think that the other name, it also goes by my name as Kim Samsung.
Yeah, like that's directly from the Korean. Oh,
okay,
like,
all right. So the direct translation, my name is Kim Samsung.
Yeah, that's the,
right.
Yeah.
Right, but then the English title is My Lovely Samsung. All right. And so she writes, I have a question. Samsung is a 30-year-old woman who has dictated that her life is about getting married by those around her, but her true goal in life is about her career, opening her own bakery. It seems that what men expect of women is outdated, and what women expect of themselves is progressive, and that would cause conflicts and complete disbelief for men. For example, even though Samsung's ex-boyfriend cheated on her and ended the relationship, he commanded that she was not to see any other men. She was his woman. And then he was completely shocked when Samsung beat him over the head with the umbrella. Her boss would constantly grab her by the wrist to drag her where he wanted to go, but had a look of disbelief when she yanked her hand out of his grasp. Is that a problem in Korea, where men expect women to be subservient as of the days of old, but in reality women are not about to be pushed around anymore? Are women in Korea like Samsung, albeit to a less degree? Sarah.
I don't think there are a lot of women in Korea that are like Samsung. I think that's one of the main points of like the show, that she's just so different than everybody else. Because I think Korean women, it's sad to say, but they still know their role in life, and they, you know, have to answer to the man. He is the man. So, I don't really think it's a problem in Korea. I think Korean dramas are just that, so dramatic, and Korean dramas are known for being overly dramatic. So,
well, what are they're always famous for? Their plot is basically man and woman meet. They fall in love, and then she has a terminal disease.
There's always a terminal disease.
Or B, their brother and sister, but they were adopted by different families,
right,
or something.
They're very dramatic. I mean, I can't think of another word.
Formulaic.
But other than traumatic.
Yeah, they're formulaic. But Kim Samsung was a really popular.
Yeah.
We should talk about that. One of the really popular Korean dramas as of last couple years.
Yeah.
But it's weird. It's supposed to be this kind of this uneducated, overweight Korean woman, and how she's really ballsy and she just goes through life and breaks all the stereotypes. And how much did she have to gain for the
15 pounds?
Yeah, like 15.
And I think maybe that made her weigh, maybe 130 pounds.
Yeah. It's really confusing because you're watching the show and you know her biography is like, she's overweight. And you ask any Korean woman, is Kim Samsung overweight? Oh, yes.
She is so fat.
Yeah,
I'm like,
just like,
oh my God. See, that drove me crazy just like watching it and, you know, them calling her fat and how she'll never find a husband because she's so fat. And I'm like, okay, guy, you know, according to this, American women will never find a husband.
Yeah.
We're just too fat.
But I think sort of there is the dual nature. You know, the man in a marriage, the man goes to work, he earns the money, and that is his role. And the woman, she does the banking, she pays the bills, she decides, you know, where to live, what school the kids go to.
Right.
She decides everything, and you know, she gives her husband some soju and cigarette money every week, and bundles him off. And that is a typical Korean marriage.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes you think it's subservient, but at the same time, the woman has a lot of control
over
the relationship. Yeah. But you know, one of the things actually, what a lot of women are doing, they have a boy and a girl. They're raising their boy along the sort of traditional, you know, Confucian line. Like, you know, you're the man. You will be a prince one day. You know, all these things. But then the girls, they're raising the girls to be independent. You know, don't make the mistakes I made. Get an education. Don't get married young. You know, marry for love. Just don't marry for security. And so there's this real disconnect between the young Korean males and the young Korean women, that they're really growing far apart. So so the guys are just like, obey me. You know, I'm your oppa. Obey me. And the women are like, I'm gonna become a dentist. Before we move on to our main topic, I guess we should mention at the top of the show, I said podcasting from a Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, but we've moved the show today.
Yes.
We moved to Bundang, where Sarah's home. And you had a bit of a rough night last night, Sarah.
Oh, I did. I didn't get home till 9 a.m.
You were actually in Sinchon.
Yes.
Yeah, and you live in Bundang. Oh, I guess the subway would be running at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, I took a bus home.
Okay, good. Yeah, because sometimes if you're trying to get home to Bundang at 3 in the morning, you're talking maybe a $30 taxi ride.
Yeah, and that was one of the main factors in deciding that I needed to stay out much later.
Oh,
I'm like, I don't want to pay $30 to get home.
Did you sleep in a sauna?
No, I didn't.
No, I
just stayed out.
Have you ever tried that?
Yes, well, not because I was out late, just because I wanted to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here, you can sleep, like saunas are open 24 hours a day. I mean, you don't have to actually sleep in the hot part. I'm not saying that. But it's just they're just sort of like big spas.
Or there are some, like there's one near Seoul Station. It's a huge sauna in Jeonjilbang. And they have like special sleeping rooms that have these like funny bunk beds set up. It's kind of strange. But
it's cheap. It's like $5 or something.
Yeah,
you know? But if you leave, you have to pay $5 to get back in.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of people kind of just sleep it off at a sauna or a Jeonjilbang. Another thing, too, I thought I should mention, more stuff you should pack. Yeah. Cold season is starting up, and I've actually got my first cold of the season, which is good because next week's the start of a Chuseok, which is like a week-long holiday for some of us.
For me.
For Sarah. And for me, it's actually, I think we're getting Wednesday off. So, but still, it's a nice little break. So it'd be really bad to have a cold over my holiday. So I'm actually kind of glad I got the cold now. Pack your favorite cold medication. That's actually a good thing you should do. Plan on getting a cold every month through the whole, from September to May.
Especially if you work with young children.
Yeah, the little virus distribution factories.
Yes.
Definitely, yeah. So, you know, in Canada, there's this really good cold medication called Neocitrin, which is, what is it? Theraflu or Thermaflu.
Theraflu.
Yeah, it's like that, but it's better.
Oh, it's better? Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Theraflu.
I've tried the Theraflu in America, and it's not very good. But
no.
The Neocitrin, actually, it tastes good, and it's effective, too. It's not something you want to just slurp down every day. But when you have a cold, you're kind of like, ooh, you're twisting my arm. I got to have some of that Neocitrin. Yeah. But probably not recommended for diabetics, because I think it's half sugar.
Yeah.
So pack your favorite cold meds.
NyQuil.
You know, if you've got a cough. Have you found any good cough suppressants here?
No, actually. And every time I go to the doctor that I've had, like, a hacking cough, they never give me anything for, like, coughing. Like, cough syrup or nothing.
Yeah. So maybe pack some cough syrup. That's a good thing to pack. Also, to pack your oil-based products, especially in winter, because it gets incredibly dry here. Mm. So, hand lotion.
Right.
Hand lotion is like about $5-7 a bottle here.
Yeah, but you can buy it relatively cheaply here at the little makeup stores.
Oh, really?
Like Misha, the Body Shop.
Okay.
It's pretty decent.
Yeah. Baby oil, if you use baby oil for things. Baby oil is really expensive. Vaseline, chapstick, throw a couple chapsticks into your suitcase, because chapsticks here is like $2 or $3.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's chapstick's kind of expensive. Baby powder, not an oil-based product, but have you seen the price of baby powder here?
Actually, no, I never looked.
Well, you know, it's good for summer because I sweat like a pig, you know.
I use baby lotion, so yeah. I'm in the baby section.
So I find the baby powder actually good in the summertime. I carry baby powder with me in my backpack.
Aww.
Yeah, well, because I
smell like a baby.
Yeah, because I stink, you know. So I like to carry some baby powder with me, and just between my little Starbucks, I'll jump into the washroom and then dash myself at baby powder. But you leave white powder all over the toilet and the. And it's just like I've been doing my lines or something.
That's right.
I don't know. So, yeah, so you have to kind of watch that. Make sure you kind of...
P.S. Carl's a cokehead.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll actually go to work with baby powder, and I've missed the baby powder in my neck and my cheeks or something. And, you know, they're looking at me like, what is wrong with your face? I'm like, what? Oh, geez, you know, baby powder. Yeah. So baby powder is like $7 for $7 for just a normal size bottle. So if you like baby powder, maybe pack a thing of baby powder. That's always good. Yeah. So oil-based products, cold meds, and baby powder. All right. So actually, our main topic is when you apply for a job, some of the pitfalls. The first thing, when you go apply for a job, they give you a list of things you have to send to your school, potential employer, a recruiter. You don't have to send them to apply for the job, but when they actually want you, they need the stuff to start processing the visa, the E2 visa. So one of the things you have to send is a photo. So your photo should be professional. Professional-ish, yeah. You know, if you can wear a shirt and tie, that's great. Sarah, what a woman, what would you recommend for a woman, Sarah, in terms of a photo? What would be a good professional photo?
Just look clean and natural, I'd say. Not too heavy on the makeup, and smile, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the important one. So, because here you pretty much get hired based on your picture, so.
Absolutely, yeah. If you can lighten your hair, make it a nice blonde.
Yeah, exactly. They like that.
Yeah, that's a good thing, too. Let's see, so photo. On my teacher message board, there was this recruiter, and he actually posted this whole list of sort of pitfalls. And one of the ones is he got a photo from a prospective teacher, and the guy had like a Korean woman in his lap in his photo.
Why?
You want to appear like you're going to be a serious teacher. So, you know, having a woman in your lap is really not the best
thing. He was just proving he can get along with the Korean ladies.
Maybe that's what he was trying to imply. But
yeah, that didn't go over so well, I'd imagine.
So definitely make sure your photo is professional. The other thing too, your degree,
mm-hmm.
when they offer you the job, they have to start processing your visa. And one of the things they need your degree. Now, you can either do two things. You can send your degree,
yes.
Or you can make a photocopy. And then there's a really long, nasty process. You make a photocopy, and you have to go to a justice of the peace, not a justice of the peace, public notary.
Right.
And then they sort of stamp it, and you take it to the embassy, and they sort of stamp it. Yeah. So, Sarah, when you applied for your job, did you send your degree, or did you go to the notarized?
I've never had it notarized. I've always sent it, because I trust that my school will return it, but some people are not that lucky.
Yeah. My feeling is, you send it by... You send everything by courier,
so
you're not just throwing it in the mail. So that's one important thing. But my feeling is, if you're you haven't even started work, and if you're not trusting your employer with your documents, then maybe you're getting off to a very bad start.
Right.
If you already have a bad feeling about that, then maybe you shouldn't be applying for the job. So, yeah. So, I have not heard too many horror stories about people sending their original degree, getting lost, or sometimes the schools, if they're a really bad school, they will, like, hold on to these documents. Never let them do that, actually. Try to get that stuff back right away. You know, oh, you know, do you have my paperwork? Never let your school hold on to your passport. That's a big no-no. Yeah. So, but don't. I don't think you should worry too much about sending your original degree.
Yeah, the only problem I've ever heard of is my friend. She got a hole stamped in hers in her degree because
really? They
just decided they wanted to put it in a binder for some reason. I'm not sure why. So now she has a big old hole in her her degree.
Well, yeah, my degree is like a BA in psychology from the University of Windsor. That's not. Yeah, I know. That's not something you really frame and put on a wall. When I was living in Seattle, I think I had it folded and kept in, like, my Monster Manual, Dungeons and Dragons Monster Manual or something, you know.
That's pretty impressive there.
Never going to lose my D&D book, so I won't ever lose my degree.
Yeah. To me, it's just kind of, some people are very, you know, protective of it. They're like, this is my life, my degree, it proves who I am. But to me, it's just kind of a piece of paper, so.
You can, your school can replace it.
Many
universities replace it. There's a bit of a fee, but it will replace it. But it's important, though, to mention that you do have to have your degree. You can't have sort of graduated and, you know, 6 months they're going to award you your paper.
Mm-hmm.
You pretty much have to have your paper degree in hand to be able to send.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard stories where people get letters and official stamps and all sorts of weird things, but immigration's really cracking down these days.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that anymore.
Yeah, which brings us to our next topic, your transcript. You need your sealed transcript from your university.
Yes.
And they have to have, like, a little official stamp on the back of an envelope. Whatever you do, A, if you get it personally, don't open it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's actually probably better if you get it yourself. A lot of times they give you the option, well, we have to mail it to your employer, we don't give it to you, things like that. But if you can get it yourself, that's good. Because if you get it mailed to your school, the person at the front desk who handles the mail just might go, well, what is this? And they'll open it.
Right.
Right. But immigration wants to open it. It should not be opened by anybody but immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So the transcript. Do you have any problems with your transcript, Sarah?
None at all. Okay. I certainly didn't.
I've heard a lot of horror stories lately that they're rejecting transcripts. They're like, well, the envelope wasn't licked right. You know.
Yeah, I've had friends with issues getting sent back. And, like, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Like, 4 times.
Yeah, yeah. It's horrible. And you have to pay for that every time, too.
Yeah.
So.
Not sure what the problem was, though.
Well, it all traces back a couple years ago why immigration is really cracking down on your original degree and transcripts. A couple of years ago, there was this English professor at Konguk University, and it turned out he didn't have the degrees he claimed he had. I had a PhD in English, but his previous job was a doorman in New York, and he just bought his fake degrees in Thailand and then somehow parlayed that into a job as an English professor at a major Korean university. And it probably would have gone undetected, but he started publishing, you know, in journals. Because the university had this deal, if you publish, they would pay you for publishing, you know, because they want to raise the profile of their university. And it really looks good. You know, all these professors are publishing in international journals. And it was quite lucrative. It was like, you know, $1,000 for everything you publish. So, but they didn't make a distinction between actual paper journals and internet journals. So what he did is he just registered a bunch of websites, created his own internet journals, and then started submitting his works to the online journals.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, and so, you know, behold, he was this incredibly well-published professor raking in the cash. And when he's teaching, he just shows this lack of knowledge of even basic grammar, like, you know, what's an article or a preposition. And the students were quite suspicious. And some of the other professors, like the Korean professors, were rather suspicious. But, you know, the hierarchy system is such that if you think this guy is, you know, not a real professor, you don't want to tell the head of your department because he's the one that hired him.
Right.
You know, and so it's like you're going to your department head and saying, you've been fooled, you know, you're stupid.
Yep.
So, yeah. So it all sort of... But eventually somebody did sort of smoke him out, and it was just a big, ugly embarrassment. And then that ended up sort of having these repercussions where we had to sort of supply our university degree and our transcripts, and we all had to get our butts down to immigration in the middle of winter and get them to look at our degrees and stamp it. And it was horrible. Sarah, you had kind of a fun...
Yeah, like, I went to get my degree verified, and they didn't even look at the degree. They just took my piece of paper, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I expected more.
It was a far trip for you.
Yeah, I had to go from Yichun to Suwon.
Oh, it was Suwon, okay.
Yeah, and I had to take like a day. Yeah, I went to Suwon. I had to take like a day off of work just to go. And that was it. It took like two minutes.
Yeah. If you're in Seoul, there's a place called Mokdong, which is sort of, it's near Gimpo Airport. It's pretty far away from pretty much everybody who...
It really
in
is.
Korea. It's pretty far from pretty much everybody in Seoul, unless you're actually working next to the subway station. It's not a lot of fun having to go down there.
And it's not even near its subway station either.
So there's this New York doorman basically screwed it for all of us. Us honest teachers.
Stupid doorman.
Yeah. Don't think you can come here if you have a fake degree either. Please, if you are trying to, like, game the system, you're just going to screw it up for us teachers who are honest and obey the law. Yeah. All right. Oh, and the other one thing, too, is this recruiter on the teacher message board. Some of the strange Hotmail addresses he would get. Like, one woman had her email address is bjqueen@hotmail.com. So, again, double-check your Hotmail or your Yahoo Mail or your Gmail name and make sure it's nothing objectionable.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt fines.
English t-shirt fines. One of the funnier things about Korea is the way they sort of latch on to some Western brand names. And it's not even just straight out product names, like even English academies, Hakwons, they have some copyright issues.
Yes.
Sarah, what have you seen?
There are several here that, you know, they've taken names from, like, Ivy League universities, and, you know, they're no way affiliated with them, but, you
yeah.
know, I still like to. Like, Yale or Princeton. I've even taught at one with an Ivy League name, and, yeah.
Oh, you don't want to mention it?
No.
Yeah, you've got, like, Oxford, Cambridge, too.
Right.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
There's even one chain where they sort of bogarted onto one of the Korean Ivy League schools, E-Day.
Really?
Ewha University, sort of the Vassar of Korea, sort of the top women's university in Korea. So it was Ewha English Academy or something. But it wasn't actually affiliated at all with E-Day or Ewha. Day meaning university and E from Ewha. Everyone just calls it E-Day, sort of like UW or something. They just call it E-Day. Yeah, so, and then E-Day... surprisingly, after years, sued.
Surprise!
Yeah. And then they won the lawsuit, E-Day, and then the school had to change its name, so they changed it from Ewha to just W.
Oh, I never knew that.
Have you seen the logo for W?
No, I have missed the W.
Well, they went and they now, their logo, W, looks exactly like the Volkswagen logo.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they just... Well, okay, not like Volkswagen's ever going to sue us.
They would never know.
Yeah. So it's like they didn't quite learn their lesson.
They have no creativity there.
Yeah. Well, one of them, there's been a recent lawsuit where one of the Korean cosmetic companies, Misha. Do you shop at Misha?
I like Misha. You know, you can get a bottle of fingernail polish for 1,001. It's pretty cool.
Well, it turns out that their logo, the Misha logo, is an exact copy of the Mary Quant logo.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, except well, they rotated it 180 degrees and they made it red.
What do you know?
I know.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so the Misha was sort of copied. Another thing too is like Face Shop, Body Shop.
Right.
There's a lot of body shops here, but then sort of the Korean version is called face shop.
Face shop.
Yeah. If you go to Myeongdong, there's actually a face shop right next to the body shop.
Well, that's just confusing.
A little confused. Well, it's not like you're going to confuse them because, you know, body shop is, it's green and it's about, you know, fair trade and let's save the environment and, you know, no koalas are ground into this makeup and stuff like that. Whereas the face shop, it's like women in short skirts dancing to disco music in front of the face shop.
Pretty much, yeah.
So definitely quite a bit more Korean in the spirit of Korean marketing versus, you know, Western marketing.
Right.
Save the environment versus dancing girls. Yeah. But the face shop was also famous for, we tried to talk about this in our first podcast, the Korean actor models. It's very, I can't even remember the guy's name. If you go to our live journal blog, the very first entry, or actually the second entry, I have a link to his picture, the face shop guy.
Baeyoung-joon. Yeah. That's right, I forgot.
No, that is Yeon.
Not Baeyoung-joon?
Well, no, is that Yeon Sam?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, this guy's Yeon Sam. I can never remember his name. You think I'd actually prepare for this podcast, but he's another guy. Just a very pretty guy with, like,
there's a whole bunch of pretty guys here.
Very white skin and stuff
they're
like that.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Starbucks has no end of imitators. The best one is, have you seen this? Go to Itaewon, what they call Hooker Hill. Self-explanatory, that term. There's a bar called Starbucks.
Yes.
Yeah, not Starbucks. But this is all purple. The outside is purple. So, but yeah. And things go on in there.
That's a naked lady doorknob.
Yeah. If you go to Itaewon, Hooker Hill, at the top of Hooker Hill is a very good English used bookstore.
It's true.
Yeah, but you have to sort of pass through the red light district thing. And this is kind of where, I don't know, American soldiers go to be serviced and stuff. And so there, and you'll go there. Usually I go to the bookstore on a Sunday afternoon. Like, it must be a slow day. And the ladies will jump out of their pub doors and they'll be like, hello, hello.
Wow.
Looking for a good time.
I've never seen that side of it. Then again, I guess I'm not their target.
So you can have your headphones on and, you know, a book in your hand and, you know, Jesus is Lord t-shirt or something, and it doesn't matter.
Very equal opportunity.
Yeah, they'll still proposition you. So that's a little embarrassing. Yeah. So, yes, the other Starbucks clones, there's a Star Beer, pub, Star Beer, and a Pro Star, that's another.
Yeah, I've seen the Pro Star, and the logo is almost identical to Starbucks.
Both Star Beer and Pro Star, yeah, they sort of glom onto the logo. It's a green circle with the logo, with the name running around. It's they also glom onto that. God, there was a crackers. Some crackers called V7 crackers. And if you looked at the packaging, it looked exactly like a can of V8 tomato juice.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, the same kind of like the V8 logo. It's kind of like a white serifed font with sort of a black shadow behind it. And the V7 crackers, exact same thing. But, you know, a 7 instead of an 8.
It's changed it a little bit.
Well, I guess I should mention to Carrefour, which we talked about in the last couple podcasts, sort of a French grocery store, department store. They've been bought out recently, and they're in the process of changing their name from Carrefour. Now they're going to call themselves Homever.
Homever.
Yeah, Homever. Which, again, sort of resonates a bit strangely. They explained in their press release that they kind of want to have it rhyme with forever, Homever, but to me it sort of sounds like, you know, whoever, whenever,
yeah,
however.
Like whomever.
Yeah.
Is that even a word, whomever?
Whomever, I think so.
I don't know.
We're just English teachers.
Yeah.
Don't ask us. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, it's conjunctions that don't inspire confidence, you know, not very decisive conjunctions. So,
In Korean news.
There's been a lot of news lately about the rise in foreign marriages in Korea. a lot of people, I guess, kind of assume that usually the marriages are between like a Korean woman and a Western guy or an American soldier or something like that.
Right.
And that was kind of the case, I think, you know, decades ago. But these days, the majority of foreign marriages are actually between Korean men and foreign women, primarily China, Philippines, Vietnam.
Right.
Yeah, it's mostly like men farmers, men out in the countryside, can't find wives. Or the women are moving to the cities and marrying men in the cities. So the men out in the countryside are unable to find wives, so they're beginning to marry, go abroad, look abroad, like Vietnamese women and Chinese women. There's a lot of ethnic Koreans in China, things like that. So that's kind of big news to Korea because it's a very homogenous country. I mean, everybody is Korean and, you know, everybody's named Kim or Park or Lee. And so to Koreans, suddenly all these foreign marriages are quite, it's like, wow, really? We didn't know that. But that's interesting. So there's quite a lot of news about that. You know, like a lot of Western women come here, and they're coming here to teach and earn money and you know, pay off their student loans and stuff like that. And traditionally in the West, Western media's portrayal of Asian men are like, well, who's that guy from 16 Candles?
Long Duk Dong.
Right, yeah. That's always been sort of the Western image of Asian men kind of being sort of skinny and, you know, they're good at math and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's changing a lot now, like Chow Yun-fat and people like that. They're definitely becoming sex symbols in the West. But I think a lot of women would come here sort of going, well, you know, I'm not going to have sex for a whole year or something, you know. And then they end up kind of meeting a guy, a Korean guy, and they return with a Korean husband. And there's a lot of women like that. So it's quite interesting. They don't really, it's just not in their mind. And then suddenly they're like, oh, it's not like that at all. Like, you know.
It's actually kind of cool.
What's the guy's name again?
Which one? Long Duk Dong.
Right, yeah, it's not like that at all. Like, you know, they're really nice guys. And Sarah, not that you're like, that wasn't your reason for coming here, but you quite like the men here.
I do. They're just, you know, extra fancy, and I don't know.
Yeah.
They're pretty.
And what else do you like?
What else do I like? They're pretty enthusiastic. They're very romantic.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I like that. They'll carry your bag for you, and it's like the men here are more into the relationships than the women, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're the ones who, you know, say I love you first and things like that, and it's just a big role reversal there, which is kind of, it's refreshing. I like that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, apparently Japanese women are sort of quite into the Korean men too, and
that, I heard this.
That's one of the big reasons they name is that, you know, that the Korean men are like, I love you. But even though, like, on the first date, it's not considered strange for the guy just on the first date to propose even marriage.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
never experienced that one.
Yeah, but it's definitely, the men are definitely romantic. What I love are the, they call it couple sets.
Oh,
Where the men and the women, they'll wear the same clothes for the date.
Ridiculous.
Like, you know, little pink outfits.
Yeah, you get a couple t-shirt and what they call couple panty. You ever seen that? You can go to the stores where you can buy the matching underwear.
Oh, really? No, I've never seen that. Yeah.
I don't know. One of my old students, him and his girlfriend, they've been together for maybe a couple months now, and, you know, they just got couple shoes.
Oh, really? There's couple rings are big.
Couple rings, yeah. Those
couple
are the big
rings,
ones.
Yeah. You even go to, like, restaurants, and they're actual couple meals.
Sets, yeah.
What they call sets here. Like, it's not like a Big Mac meal. It's a, you know, Big Mac set.
Yes,
set. Big Mac set, yeah. So, yeah. The other thing, too, is it's like, they'll call you a lot, won't they, Korean men?
Yes, I have noticed that. I mean, not, you know, nobody really ever calls me, but, like, I have a friend who has a Korean boyfriend, and, well, several that have Korean boyfriends, actually, and they are on the phone all the time with them, either texting or calling. It's, I have a coworker like that. She is on the phone with him, like, no less than once every hour.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they have to talk about, but apparently something.
I was talking to one of my Korean female friends, and I'm like, because I heard one of my other female friends is like, you know, her boyfriend calls her 5 times a day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this normal? 5 times a day? You know, And my other friend's like, well, you should call at least 5 times a day.
I don't think I want to talk to anybody that much.
You know, yeah. And because in the West, that's, if a guy calls you 5 times a day, that's almost a negative, you know.
I think so.
To a woman, that's, it's not saying you're sweet. It's just saying, I need a hobby, you know.
You're a stalker. Go away.
Exactly. It's almost stalkerish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sometimes the level of interest a man shows you here is, in the West, it would be interpreted as kind of stalkerish. But but here, if you understand the rules of the game, it's not as scary.
Also, there are a lot of times that, like, in Prin's experience, in my experience, that a Korean man, he'll be very, very into you for like 2 weeks, and he'll do the whole calling, you know, a million times a day or texting a million times a day. Then after about 2 weeks, he'll just drop off the face of the earth and you'll never hear from him again.
Really?
That's a strange one. I'm not sure why that happens and what's in the Korean man's psyche to make that happen, but
I think we do that. Us men do that in the West.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
I've never noticed. I don't know why. I'm just, you know, oblivious to the ways of the man.
I think it happens more in, like, on the internet, where, you know, you're totally into the woman on the internet, and then you see her in real life, and then it's like, I've got a friend that maybe you should meet, you know.
You were better on the internet.
Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah. The other thing, too, is, you know, we have to sort of disabuse Western men of this idea that, like, Korea is sort of this dating paradise. Because it's like, you know, in the West, as men, we've all known the guy with the British accent.
Yeah.
And he's just completely average-looking guy, and he just opens up his mouth, and then suddenly the women are just around him like sharks, you know? He's like the wounded seal, and the women are just like the great whites.
Oh, I love you.
Yeah.
Let's have babies.
So I think then we make that calculation that when we're all going to come to Korea, it's going to be, we will be foreign and exotic, and the women will swoon.
That's a definite male assumption there.
And it's not like that, I don't think. I don't know. The guys you know, I mean, are they having an easy time with it?
Not so much that I notice.
No.
I mean, some of them, yes, they find it easier to find, you know, Korean women. I don't know how they do or what they do to get them, but then there are some that, you know, it's back, the same back home. You have to be kind of out there and, you know, like, hey, I'm available, ladies.
Exactly. You know, my estimation is, if you've never really had a girlfriend back in North America, you're not going to do well here either. That Korean women are not stupid, you know?
I've seen some incredibly mismatched couples here. Like, the guy is just, you know,
a beast.
Friggin' ugly. And he has such a pretty girlfriend. I'm like, how did that happen? He must be, you know, funny or something, you know, intellectually stimulating, or has money. But
that's true, you know, yeah. Sometimes if you're, well, because when you're teaching, you have at least a good year's worth of anecdotes about Korean children and the cute things they do. And, yeah, so women can kind of find that funny and charming. And, you know, it really does. It gives, that's your edge, really.
Wish that worked in reverse, you know, for the foreign ladies here, you know. Hey, Korean man, where you at?
But my motto is, it's very easy to get a date in Korea, but ah is sort of the operative word. Let's put the stress on the ah date, as in one date. Yeah. Because there's a lot of women who are like, oh, you know, coffee date with a foreigner, and that would be kind of different and new and practice my English. But at the same time, you have to sort of understand that the Korean women you will be trying to date speak English.
Right.
Which implies that they come from middle class, upper class families. And their parents have spent thousands and thousands of dollars to educate them. And their way of paying back their parents for all this education is not marrying a guy whose best job is, you know, ESL teacher in Asia.
Right.
You know, they are gunning for Samsung executive track guys, you know what I mean? So
plus they're married, you know, expected to marry a Korean.
Exactly.
That's just what Koreans do. Yeah. They marry Koreans.
And yeah, and they're not gonna, it's very rare that the woman that's gonna sort of risk being a social outcast to her family to sort of run off with had one teacher, you know. You know, you're not high status men here. And yeah. But I mean at the same time, if you're nice and you have something to offer women back in the West, you'll have something to offer women here too. So take a long hard look at yourself, that's what I'm sort of saying, you know, and go, you know, bone up on some good books and topics of conversation, stuff like that, before maybe coming to Korea if that's what you're looking to do in your off time.
Yeah. But if you're coming to Korea specifically for the ladies, then I don't know if you're meant to be here anyway.
Yeah, it's not easy necessarily.
I've come to find a wife.
What are all my friends back in North America were like, so are you gonna marry a Korean? And I always go, I'm going to marry a dentist.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, well, why a dentist? I'm like, well, I don't know. It's just a good answer.
You know? Yeah.
You're talking like I have a choice of something. You know what I mean? And I mean, I came here with the belief that it's never been easy for me to find a girlfriend in North America, Canada, America. It's not going to be any easier here, you know? So,
yeah.
Teaching opportunity.
And this week's teaching opportunity, again, we found this Footprints Recruiting website. It's footprintsrecruiting.com. Again, just Google on the internet, Footprints, ESL, you'll find the website. Footprints always seems to have a lot of jobs for, well, they're called kilpos.
Yeah,
kilpos. So Koreans, Korean Americans, ethnic Koreans who can come back to Korea and get a special kind of visa. It's called an F4 visa. Yeah. If you're just sort of kind of a people like us, sort of. What Koreans have a name for us. They call us Ko-jong-yi. Ko-jong-yi, which Ko means nose, and Jong-yi means like big or something like that.
I've never heard that one before. It's new to me.
Their term for us is big nose, basically. So, I don't know. We were struggling for a term. I think we should just call ourselves like either like whitey or honky.
I'm a fan of the whitey.
All right. Yeah. So yeah. So if you're just your generic Chrysler drive-in, I shop at Walmart, generic whitey, you get an E2 visa. Ethnic Koreans can apply for an F4 visa.
I hear they have to pay special taxes on that though. So some like gyopos now are. Opting for the
E2. Oh, yeah. Well, I think it can be more expensive. I think the E2 visa, or sorry, the F4 visa. And there's a lot more paperwork. You have to establish your Korean.
Right, your like Korean lineage and, you know.
Exactly, that kind of stuff. But it has the advantage that you are not tied to your school. You can work. I don't even think you're limited as an English teacher.
Oh, no. You can work like part-time jobs. You can work like in a bar if you want.
Yeah. I think the only restriction is you can't work for the government, or there's certain sectors of the government you can't work for. But yeah.
That only makes sense.
Yeah. So the Footprints Recruiting site has a lot of these jobs. The downside is you tend to get a bit more of a raw deal being a Korean.
I would think so.
Yeah, because Koreans are supposed to work a certain way, you know, hard, long hours for low pay and not a lot of benefits. And so if you're working in maybe an academy and you're working with whiteys, you might find that you're not getting the same deal they're getting. And they're getting a free apartment, they're getting all this hand-holding, and when their classes are over, they can go home, and they're not always expected to go out and do all the, you know, rah-rah things with the boss. But if you're an ethnic Korean on an F4 visa, a lot of times you're expected to play the game.
Right.
Yeah. Have you worked with it?
Oh, yeah. My school right now is very gyopo friendly.
Oh, really?
And they I think we're one of the few, but yeah, my school offers the same, the housing, the equal pay.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
But I've been at the school before. I was replaced by a gyopo that got less pay than I did, and she didn't get, you know, the apartment or anything, which is really sad.
Yeah, definitely. So that's sort of one of the downsides.
Definitely.
But if you can speak Korean, then that's actually a definite advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you can then sort of... There's a lot of academies where they just don't teach English. They're prepping the students to write tests,
right.
Entrance exams,
right.
Be they for university, even for, like, high schools and middle schools, there's entrance exams.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, there's international schools here.
Yep.
And they let in a certain percentage of Koreans, like citizens, locals, into the schools. But you have to have a very high level of English.
Right.
But you get a really good education, and you get a good English education, so there's a lot of competition to get into those schools. So so the schools, are these academies, they want kyopos who can speak Korean and English to really help prep the kids for these tests, which you and I are pretty much incapable of explaining anything in Korean. The finer points of English grammar, and without just shouting at the kids, no, use an article!
Yep.
Why can't you use an up or a
down?
I'm always like, most single nouns need a or the. Most single nouns need a or the. Most single nouns need a or the. Do they ever remember that?
No.
Yeah.
Even if they do, they don't know what it means. Single noun? What? I don't know.
True. What is the Korean word for verb is dungsa? Well, I'm completely pronouncing it wrong, but if you're whitey and you try to say the Korean word for verb, dung sa, sa is the Korean word for, like, excrete, and dung is, like, you know, poo. So when you say the Korean word for verb, the kids are hearing you saying, like, you know, poop. And so, you know, they laugh.
I would laugh.
Yeah, they laugh madly. But I've been using this to my advantage, actually, because the kids are really into the toilet humor here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to use that as leverage, you know. So I'm always like, okay, you know, you've got your subject, your verb, your dungsa. But again, prepositions are another thing the kids completely forget about. So the Korean word for noun is myeongsa, and then the Korean word for verb is dungsa. And then I claim that the Korean word for preposition is salsa. Which, again, if you say the word salsa, like the stuff we eat, that actually means diarrhea.
It's so sad, because salsa is so good. Why does that be spoiled by the Korean word?
So the Korean word for diarrhea is actually salsa. But again, the kids laugh madly when you're like, many dungsas need a salsa. If you're pooping, you also need diarrhea.
Of course.
Oh, they love it. So, but it's strange now. But that's something they will happily chant. They won't chant, most nouns need a or the. Most single nouns need a or the. But they will chant, many dungsas need a salsa. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a freaky foreigner.
But last time we did Freaky Waygook of the Week, I think I explained Waygook wrong. I actually went and did some research on the word Waygook. Yeah, as it turns out, it's not Waygook, it's Waygook-in.
Right.
Yeah, so Waygook actually just means, like, foreign country. And if you add the in, it's sort of, you know, someone from the foreign country. So, yeah, so Waygook-in is like a foreigner. Waygook means a foreign country. Now, my research, way kind of means like out,
uh-huh.
And gook means land. So, Waygook, outland, Waygookin, outlander. So, yeah, so that's the origin of Waygook.
Waygookin.
Waygookin, yeah. But, I don't know, it's just easier to say Waygook.
It is, and that's what we do. We whiteys, that's what we call her, you know.
Yeah, so.
Hey, Waygooks. Hey, Wags, what's up?
Freaky Waygook, yeah.
The Wags.
Because if you really miss Whitey, Itaewon is like Whitey Town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely the place to go. It used to be plenty scary a number of years ago at J1. Because it was kind of like a lot of hookers and, you know, bars where you can buy services from women and stuff like that. But it's actually began changing a lot of gentrification. A lot of foreign restaurants. You know, you can get Greek food, Indian food.
Oh, and the Greek restaurant is so good there.
I think ever since they built the mosque in Etewan, they built a... I think the Saudi Arabian government paid like millions of dollars to build this mosque.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, near Etewan. And so you begin to get this cluster of Middle Eastern restaurants and then some Indian restaurants, and that just kind of sort of kick-started the idea that, oh, go to Etewan for not Korean food, but not pizza, you know, not hamburgers, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, and a lot of Koreans are now coming to Etewan to try Greek food and stuff like that. One of the things I've heard, too, is a lot of Korean celebrities will go to Etewan to eat.
Really?
Yeah, because we don't know them on the street, right?
That's true. Yeah. I would never think of that.
Yeah, so Yon Sama could pass you right by.
We'd never know.
And you would never know that's Yon Sama. So a lot of Korean celebrities will sort of hang out there just because they won't get recognized, and they can have a dinner in peace kind of thing. Yeah. It might start to change a bit once you begin to realize, ooh, Korean celebrities.
Korean celebrity. It makes me wonder, have I ever passed one on the street and never knew? Because I know I've been on an airplane before. I was sitting next to a guy.
Really?
And I didn't even know until, like, we started to get off the plane and everybody just stood up, turned around, and started taking pictures of him. And I'm like, who is this guy? I have no idea, but he had this huge entourage. But
Do you have a favorite Korean celebrity?
Oh, yes, I do. He's my boyfriend. His name is No Hong Chul.
Oh, what's he famous for?
He's a comedian. You would recognize him. I think he's the Finnegan spokesperson, but he has blonde hair
right, yes.
And a huge mouth. But his mouth is so pretty. I'm just like,
really?
Oh, No Hong Chul, your mouth. I like it.
Because I've seen him with the Finnegan ads, but I wasn't aware he was a celebrity. I just thought he was just some guy.
No, he's a celebrity, and I love him.
Okay. There's that one comedy show on, like, the Comedy Channel, and kind of a big guy with, like, an afro, and he kind of does these strange English lessons.
Ah, yes, okay, yeah. That would be Uchasa, the show,
okay.
I think so.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Him and somebody with a flower on the top of their head. Ah, Michinso, Crazy Cow, yeah.
Michinso, right, yeah. Michin means crazy, and so means cow.
Crazy cow.
Have you ever watched the Comedy Network? There's very little comedy on that channel.
It's like that's a shame.
It's weird. It's like there's maybe 2 hours of actual comedy programming, and the rest are just like little game shows or things like this. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I like the game shows, though. They're full of comedy to me.
Well, you know, the best game shows are the Italian game shows.
Italian game shows.
Have you ever watched, like, any Italian television?
I cannot say that I have.
Well, I'm sure most cable systems in North America usually have, like, an Italian channel. And they always have these Italian game shows. And the best ones are, like, the game shows for kids. Because the stage, they fill the stage with these leggy models with, like, big breasts and cleavage.
And it's a kid's show.
And it's a kid's show, yeah. And they, I mean, there are kids someplace on the stage. But it's, you know, yeah.
For the men.
But the Korean game shows are sometimes a bit hard to try to figure out.
And they always have celebrities on them, though. I don't think there are any game shows with, like, normal people.
That's true, too. But, yeah. But then you're, like, celebrities. Like, well, what are they famous for? I just can never figure that out.
Singers
or other TV shows.
And the ones there are a lot of singers. But most of them that are on these shows, they're not the, you know, the huge celebrities. They're kind of the... I gotta pay the bills, celebrities.
Yeah.
Like Shin Jung Hwan, he's everywhere, and I know he's been in trouble for like gambling debt.
Oh.
I also like him. He has a big head, but I like him too.
To go with your small head.
Yes, but see, it would be a great couple. Yeah.
my freaky Waegook. It's actually not really freaky Waegook, as I guess playing off of our job of the week, freaky Kyopo story. I'm the only foreigner at my school, but I used to actually work with another guy. And when I got there, the guy who was managing us, his, I'll call him Dexter. Dexter was sort of a Korean-American, and he was actually in one of the buildings near the World Trade Centers during 9/11. He wasn't in the actual Twin Towers, but, you know, like Tower 6 or something like that. And he saw the whole thing, the things come down and the planes striking. And this affected him in many ways. And he began to feel that as, you know, sort of not whitey, he's not being kind of a whitey mom and apple pie kind of person living in America, he began to feel like people were looking at him strangely, like, what are you doing here, foreigner? And are you gonna, you're gonna blow up the Stuckies or something?
Oh,
you know?
Stuckies.
Yeah.
So way to work that in.
Yeah. So he decided, oh, you know, screw it. I'm gonna go to Korea for a few years and teach English until, you know, America becomes a bit more foreign friendly again. So he basically goes to Korea to teach English to escape people like me. And then suddenly he finds himself, you know, not only working with people like me, but now he's managing us.
Come on, man, you ruined his life.
I know. And now it's, but even worse, he's not managing Americans, he's managing two Canadians. You know, and we're, you know, we've got our own little language and our, you know, our Canadian arrogance, like you don't say schedule correctly, you know, things like that, you know.
Blah, blah, blah.
I know. So it's just, he's just not a happy guy. He has to sort of, and, you know, he's, he has to show us everything. They expect him to do everything for us because his English is really good and he's managing us. And he's probably not making extra money for managing us. He's just given extra work to do. So, yeah. So it's like, poor Dexter. Not a happy fellow. Yeah. But you know, one of the things, Dexter, the children really liked him as a teacher because he was quite a cool guy and he sort of had blonde hair and a ponytail. And a lot of the kids weren't really aware of his background. They just thought he was a really cool teacher. And for a while, like, you know, Osama bin Laden, he was like a hero to Korean children. You know? Well, you ever have a kid take the name Osama bin Laden?
No, I've never had an Osama bin Laden, but I've had an Al-Qaeda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So sometimes the Korean kids will be like, well, what's your name? My name's Osama bin Laden. And,
yeah.
And so sometimes they'll get on their little tear about, you know, we should nuke America. And, you know, when North and South Korea reunite, we'll have nuclear weapons and then we can bomb America. I'm never sure who exactly, who the Korean kids want to bomb first. Do they want to bomb Japan first or do they want to bomb America first? Or does it switch from month to month?
I think it's, from in my experience, it's generally they want to bomb Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen any of the, like, anti-Americanism stuff. Not so much.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the kids know I'm Canadian, so sometimes they're a bit more free to, like,
they don't want to say that in front of me.
Well, when they do that, then I would explain to them. I'd say, well, you know, Dexter teacher. And they'd be like, oh, Dexter teacher. You know, well, he was, you know, he was in one of the World Trade Centers when it came crashing down. And he saw all those people die, and it really affected him. So, you know, so be very careful when you talk about this, because, you know, Dexter teacher might hear, and, you know, he'll be really hurt.
Dexter teacher may snap.
Yeah, he might. Yeah. So then they kind of go, oh. Then they're sort of shamed, and they drop it, yeah. But, I mean, as a Canadian, because Canadian children are, they're kind of anti-American, too.
Like, the whole world.
Yeah, exactly. If you're American, you don't really sort of understand, like, you know.
Hey, I'm kind of anti-American.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people who are teaching here are kind of, I had to get out of the George Bush years, and now I'm here in Korea. But I always feel sorry for them, because a lot of times they'll meet Canadians in bars, you know? And Canadians can be real a-holes, I think, to Americans. Have you met any nasty Canadians?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Many.
Yeah. They're not nice people, are they?
Some of them are not nice, and they're, like, some of them are incredible know-it-alls. And that gets me, like, more than anything.
So let me actually apologize for Canadians everywhere.
Thank you.
But the thing is that they're kind of like, it's like they want to hold you responsible for all of George Bush's crimes, right?
Yeah, like, that's my fault.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you defend George Bush. You defend
him. I can't even do that. I don't even like talking politics, so if I'm ever attacked like that, I'm just like, I don't know what to say.
Exactly. But I find a lot of Americans, you know, they come here and they're like, I don't like George Bush and I don't like his politics and I don't like what's going on.
Exactly.
But then the Canadians sort of, and we outnumber the Americans, I think, in terms of ESL teaching.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll surround them in bars and make them, you know, hold them responsible for America's crimes, and they begin to, they make the switch where they're like, okay, I have to defend what I would not defend in America. They just have this, I have to defend America, and they begin to, us Canadians, we begin to turn all these very liberal, worldly Americans into these, like, you know, my country right or wrong. It's really a terrible thing, actually.
See, coming to Korea, I've learned to appreciate America much more, though. Because before, I'm just like, I hate America. I don't want to live there anymore. I want to renounce my citizenship, all this kind of stuff. But now, I realize it's really not that bad. It's a pretty decent place.
Well, for me, living abroad, I mean, for me, it's like, God, I can't believe all the crap we Canadians believe, you know? All of a sudden, you don't really realize it, but you tell your own propaganda. And it's not until you see in another culture them parroting the same propaganda, but the, no, it's no longer Canadians, but Koreans as the subject, that you go, oh, wait, you know? There was like this one guy, and he was in a grocery store, and he was buying some beef, and it was like Korean beef. Mm-hmm. And the guy, the Korean guy serving him, was like, Korean beef, it's the best. Yeah, and but of course you tell someone from Texas or Alberta that, and they'd be like, that fool, like, how would that deluded Korean guy, how could Korean beef be the best? You know, when, isn't he aware of Alberta beef? Isn't he aware of Texan beef?
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
But when you think about it, I mean, it's a cow, right? You know, how can a Korean cow be any different from a Texan cow or an Alberta cow?
I think people that would take offense over that are just silly.
Yeah, I mean, a cow is a cow, and not, unless, I mean, maybe Koreans are feeding their cows, like, something special that makes them, their beef better. Maybe they're giving them green tea or something, I don't know.
It's just national pride, you
know? Exactly. So it's like, you even begin to see little things like food nationalism, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're in Alberta, you're like, oh, Albertan beef is the best beef in the world. And it's like, well, who, how do you know that? It's because everybody in Alberta says Albertan beef is the best in the world.
Exactly.
Everybody in Texas is always like, Texan beef is the best beef in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there's no International Beef Council where they award, you know.
Award for the best beef.
You know, meat medallions for, you know,
nice.
Best of beef
quality.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So how do you know? You know, it's just people tell you and you just believe it as part of your culture. It's a cultural bias.
Yep.
All right, that's our show for this week. Next week is a big, long Korean holiday.
I'm excited.
Yeah, Chuseok, which is kind of like their Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah. It's like American Thanksgiving is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
It's a Canadian Thanksgiving is just not a big deal. It's kind of like, well, it's a day off. It's like
What is Canadian Thanksgiving about? What happens?
Well, I mean, it's the same kind of idea as American Thanksgiving.
You didn't have any pilgrims, did
you? No, yeah, minus the pilgrims.
Plymouth
Rock. But just, you know, an agricultural celebration, you know, end of the harvest, that sort of stuff.
It's pagan rituals.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. So, but because Canada is farther north than America, you know, we have a shorter growing season. So we have to have our Thanksgiving kind of earlier, because that's when our harvest ends in October versus end of
November. Your Thanksgiving is more of a harvest festival.
Yeah,
a celebration of the end of the harvest.
But what sucks about Canadian Thanksgiving, although you get your day off earlier into the school year, that was always nice. You didn't have to wait till November to get some time off from school. But what's bad is that, as in America, where, you know, when Halloween is over, that starts the Christmas buying season.
Yeah.
Canadian retailers pretty much feel that once, did I say Halloween? Once Thanksgiving is over in America, that kicks off the Christmas buying season. Well, the same thing kind of holds in Canada. Once Thanksgiving is over in Canada, that kicks off the Christmas buying season.
So it's longer.
Which means, you know, pretty much, I mean, November 1, it's jingle bells.
It's pretty early.
Stores. It's just miserable. You don't even have, like, Halloween decorations. They just sort of jump right into
it. Just goes directly to Christmas.
They jump right into Christmas. It's just miserable. So, yeah. But I just think it's too. It's because, like, we're really cheap Canadians, you know. Like, trying to get a buck out of our wallet is not an easy task. So I just think we kind of need the extra month. Retailers need that extra month.
I never knew that was true about Canadians.
Yeah.
Never heard that one before.
We're right cheap bastards, that's for sure.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Never knew that.
Noted. Try to borrow a dollar from me.
All right.
Go ahead.
Can I borrow a dollar?
Forget it.
Oh, no. Stupid Canadian.
Anyways, all right, so that's our show. So, again, email your questions to gokorea@gmail.com. Email your questions to Sarah at gokorea@gmail.com. Visit our blog at gokorea.livejournal.com. A lot of things we talk about on the show, I put up pictures and stuff like that. Have you checked out our blog, Sarah?
I have. Yeah. I've been there, you know.
So you see a lot of all the pictures and things we talk about, especially for our English t-shirt. And our new website at www.gokorea.info, I-N-F-O. And I also registered one, soulpod.com.
Soulpod.
Yeah, soulpod. So soul is in the city, Seoul, and then P-O-D, soulpod.com. So, and that will again resolve to gokorea.info.com. And I'm going to use the .info site as kind of like our archive. So the SwitchPod site will have our recent shows, and then our archive, hopefully lower traffic site, will then have our archived shows. So yeah, so check that out. We've got some cast biographies there, probably have some pictures, mini fact about our show, things like that. So check out our official website as well. So but yes, Chuseok. So we might not do the show next week, maybe shut down for a couple Sundays. It depends on the schedule, how much we're all enjoying our holiday. Hopefully one of the Sundays, if Sarah can't come, then we'll have John on a makeup show. If not, maybe I'll just do some viewer email, some listener email.
The best stuff.
Yeah, some listener email, that sort of stuff. Maybe one little gap show, fill-in show. So, yeah. So keep checking. Bye-bye.
Bye.